Chapter 33. By notes so very shrilly blown, to break upon time's monotone, while yet my vapid joy and grief are tintless of the yellow leaf, why not an imp the graybeard hath, will shake his shadow in my path, and then the graybeard will o'erlook connivingly my dreaming book. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 doubtful poems alone from childhood's hour I have not been as others were I have not seen as others saw I could not bring my passions from a common spring from the same source I have not taken my sorrow I could not awaken my heart to joy at the same tone and all I loved alone then in my childhood in the dawn of a most stormy life was drawn from every depth of good and ill the mystery which binds me still from the torrent, or the fountain from the red cliff of the mountain from the sun, that drowned me rolled in its autumn tint of gold from the lightning. In the sky as it passed me flying by from the thunder, and the storm and the cloud, that took the form when the rest of heaven was blue, of a demon in my view, tilde 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 end of text tilde tilde tilde, this poem is no longer considered doubtful as it was in 1903. Liberty has been taken to replace the book version with an earlier, perhaps more original manuscript version ed. Equals 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 to Isidore, I, beneath the vine-clad eaves, whose shadows fall before thy lowly cottage door under the lilac's tremulous leaves within thy snowy clasped hand the purple flowers it bore. But last eve in dreams, I saw thee stand, like queenly nymphs from fairy land enchantress of the flowery wand, most bodious Isidore. 2. And when I bade the dream upon thy spirit flee, thy violet eyes to me upturned, did overflowing seem with the deep, untold delight of love's serenity, thy classic brow, like lilies white and pale as the imperial night upon her throne, with stars bedight, enthralled my soul to thee. 3. Ah, ever I behold thy dreamy, passionate eyes, blue as the languid skies, hung with the sunset's fringe of gold. Now strangely clear thine image grows, and olden memories are startled from their long repose like shadows on the silent snows, when suddenly the night wind blows where quiet moonlight ties. IV, like music heard in dreams, like strains of harps unknown, of birds forever flown audible as the voice of streams, that murmur in some leafy dell, I hear thy gentlest tone, and silence cometh with her spell like that which on my tongue doth dwell, when tremulous in dreams I tell my love to thee alone. V, in every valley heard, floating from tree to tree, less beautiful to me, the music of the radiant bird, than artless accents such as thine whose echoes never flee. Ah, how for thy sweet voice I pine, for uttered in thy tones benign, enchantress. This rude name of mine doth seem a melody I equals 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 the village street in these rapid restless shadows. Once I walked at eventide, when a gentle silent maiden, walked in beauty at my side she alone there walked beside me all in beauty, like a bride. Pallidly the moon was shining on the dewy meadows nigh, on the silvery silent rivers, on the mountains far, and high on the ocean's star-lit waters, where the winds a weary die. Slowly, silently we wandered from the open cottage door, underneath the elm's long branches to the pavement bending o'er, underneath the mossy willow and the dying sycamore. With the myriad stars in beauty all bedight, the heavens were seen, radiant hopes were bright around me, like the light of stars serene. Like the mellow midnight splendor of the night's irradiate queen. Audibly the elm leaves whispered peaceful, pleasant melodies, like the distant murmured music of unquiet lovely seas, while the winds were hushed in slumber in the fragrant flowers and trees. Wondrous and unwonted beauty still adorning all did seem, while I told my love in fables neath the willows by the stream, with the heart of kept unspoken love, that was its rarest dream. Instantly away we wandered in the shadowy twilight tide, she, the silent, scornful maiden, walking calmly at my side, with a step serene and stately, all in beauty, all in pride. Vacantly I walked beside her. On the earth mine eyes were cast. Swift and keen there came unto me bitter memories of the past on me, like the rain in autumn on the dead leaves, cold and fast. Underneath the elms we parted, by the lowly cottage door, One brief word alone was uttered never on our lips before, and away I walked forlornly, broken-hearted evermore. Slowly, silently I loitered, homeward, in the night, alone. Sudden anguish bound my spirit, that my youth had never known. Wild unrest, like that which cometh, when the night's first dream hath flown. Now, to me the elm leaves whisper mad, discordant melodies, unkeen melodies like shadows haunt the moaning willow trees, and the sycamores with laughter mock me in the nightly breeze. Sad and pale the autumn moonlight through the sighing foliage streams, and each morning, midnight shadow, shadow of my sorrow seems. Strive, zero heart, forget thine idol, and, zero soul, forget thy dreams. Equals, 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 the forest reverie, 'tis said, that when the hands of men tame this primeval wood, and hoary trees with crowns of woe, like warriors by an unknown foe, were in their strength subdued, the virgin earth gave instant birth to springs, that ne'er did flow, that in the sun did rivulets run, and all around rare flowers, did blow the wild rose pale perfume the gale, and the queenly lily adown the dale, whom the sun, and the dew and the winds did woo, with the gourd and the grape luxuriant grew. So when in tears the love of years is wasted like the snow, and the fine fibrils of its life by the rude wrong of instant strife are broken at a blow within the heart, dew springs upstart of which it doth now know, and strange, sweet dreams, like silent streams, that from new fountains overflow, with the earlier tide of rivers glide deep in the heart whose hope has died, quenching the fires its ashes hide, its ashes, whence will spring, and grow sweet flowers, ere long, the rare and radiant flowers of song. Equals, 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 notes, of the many verses from time, to time ascribed to the pen of Edgar Poe, and not included among his known writings, the lines entitled alone have the chief claim to our notice. Facsimile copies of this piece had been in possession of the present editor some time previous to its publication in Scribner's Magazine for September, 1875. But as proofs of the authorship claimed for it were not forthcoming, he refrained from publishing it as requested. The desired proofs have not yet been adduced, and there is, at present, nothing but internal evidence to guide us. Alone is stated to have been written by Poe in the album of a Baltimore lady, Mrs. Balderstone, on March 17, 1829, and the facsimile given in Scribner's is alleged to be of his handwriting. If the calligraphy be Poe's, it is different in all essential respects from all the many specimens known to us, and strongly resembles that of the writer of the heading and dating of the manuscript, both of which the contributor of the poem acknowledges to have been recently added. The lines, however, if not by Poe, are the most successful imitation of his early mannerisms yet made public, and, in the opinion of one well qualified to speak, are not unworthy on the whole of the parentage claimed for them. While Edgar Poe was editor of the Roadway Journal, some lines, Oh Isidore, appeared there, and, like several of his known pieces, bore no signature. They were at once ascribed to Poe, and in order to satisfy questioners, an editorial paragraph subsequently appeared saying they were by Dodd-Eyde, Jr. Two previous poems had appeared in the Roadway Journal over the signature of Dodd-Eyde, and whoever wrote them was also the author of the lines Oh Isidore. In order, doubtless, to give a show of variety, Poe was then publishing some of his known works in his journal over noms de plume, and as no other writings, whatever can be traced to any person bearing the name of Dodd-Eyde, it is not impossible that the poems now republished in this collection may be by the author of The Raven. Having been published without his usual elaborate revision, Poe may have wished to hide his hasty work under an assumed name. The three pieces are included in the present collection, so the reader can judge for himself what pretensions they possess to be by the author of The Raven. End of the Project Gutenberg text of the works of Edgar Allan Poe 5. 5. End of the works of Edgar Allan Poe, Raven Edition. POE 5e by Gutenberg Edition.